Okay, on this day, it is a joy again to be before you and presenting the Word of God, and to see many of you have turned out here, so it is really great joy. And on this day, we continue with our series, which we began. Today's sixth time we're talking about this, the series which is called The Work of the Holy Spirit. In the church or in life of believers. And the first time we spoke about the convicting work of the Spirit of God. The second time we spoke about the sealing. The third time we spoke about indwelling. The fourth we spoke about Him being the helper. The fifth, which was last time, we spoke about Him being the Spirit of truth. And today we're going to talk about Him being the witness, the Spirit of God being the witness. Let us turn to the book of John, John 15, 26 to 27. John 15, 26 to 27. Let us read. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. You see, the story or the what this verse is all about. The Lord Jesus Christ from chapter 14 of John, He has been talking to His disciples about His death, that He was going to be killed. He was talking about Him being tortured, He living, and He gave the believers or His apostles or His disciples all the promises. He gave them the promises. He told them, He gave them the positives. And now in chapter 15, He gives them the negative. He tells them that the world is going to hate them. They're going to be hated by the world, not because of what they've done, because they've associated with Him, because they were His followers. As the world has hated Him, as the world is trying to destroy the work He has done, the same thing is going to happen to all those who follow Him. And then suddenly, in the midst of that, because the same story continues to chapter 16, but He gives us two verses in chapter 15, which talks about something else. It talks about the Spirit of God testifying of Him. When He comes, He will testify about Him. He will testify of Him. In verse 26, we talks about the Holy Spirit convicting or testifying. And verse 27 talks about the church or believers or the apostles also testifying or being witnesses. We see two kind of witnesses in this portion of Scripture. We know the word used here in verse 26, it talks about those people who are like Matthias or the mother, people who don't give in or don't give out, who don't change the position, who stand and say what they have seen, what they have heard, and what they know. People who don't just change. And yesterday, I checked on Wikipedia what is the meaning of the word Martha. Martha or martyr in Swedish. What is the meaning of it? And Wikipedia gave us this definition. It says that martyr is somebody who suffers persecution or death for advocating renouncing, refusing to renounce, and or refusing to advocate a belief or cause of a religious nature is demanded by an external party. That somebody who stands, he believes one thing, that's what he believes, and the mob or the other group of people, the king or the master or other people, tell him to change his or her beliefs or his or her conviction. And this person say, I will die, I'm not going to change, kill me or make me suffer, but I won't change my position. I won't change my position to your position. I won't change my position to something else. I will stand on my position. And that is something we've seen many times in history. History tells us about people who have died for cause of Christianity. People who have died for cause of their belief. It can be political, it can be religious, it can be any background. People stand for what they believe. And this is the word which is used on these two verses, verse 27. Many places in the Bible, when it talks about gospel, good news, it talks about the gospel, or it talks about to preach the gospel. But here it talks about the person. It talks about integrity of the one who stands for it. Like a mother, somebody who stands for it. And let's talk about this first witness, the Holy Spirit. It talks about the character, it talks about the credibility, trustworthiness of this person, of the Holy Spirit, about what he testified. When you go to court, if any one of us has been to court, you know that you sit. The judges are sitting there. The jury is sitting there. There are three things they want to know from you. The first one, when you come as a witness, you've witnessed something. The first one they want to see is your character. What kind of person you are? What is your personal character? Are you a person who lies? Are you a person who can be trusted? Are you a person who says yes and yes? What kind of person you are? They want to see your personality. And then the second thing they want to see is your knowledge about what you are about to testify. Your knowledge. Does he know what he's talking about? Is he a liar? Or is he a person who knows what is? Has he lived it? Has he seen it? Or has he heard of it? Or is he just somebody who makes things up? Does he have a knowledge of this thing? And the third thing they want to see, how you communicate that knowledge or that testimony which you have. How you communicate it. Do you stand there just making your own things up? Or do you deliver what you know with accuracy? That at 11 o'clock, I woke up, I looked by the window, I saw people fighting. This guy came and did this and did this. You see exactly as it was. Or you're making your own things up. There were two people, but you said there were seven people. There was only one guy, you said it was seven people. Are you giving that what you're about to testify with accuracy, or you just your own things up? No matter how you perform, these three things are really important to the juries or to the judges. They want to see the character. They want to see the knowledge of what you want to deliver, and they want to see how you communicate that testimony. And the first witness, as I said, is the Holy Spirit from verse 26. The Holy Spirit of God. Let us read verse 26 again. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. We know the character of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that He is the third person of the Trinity. He is part of the Godhead. That is His character. He is called Spirit of Truth. He is called Spirit of Christ. He is called the Holy Spirit. We know that He is holy. That is His character. If He's standing before the juries, His character is clear. Everyone knows who He is. He is the Holy One. He is the Spirit of Christ. He is the Spirit of God. He is the part of the Godhead. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 2-10 that He knows the deepest things of God. He is there. He has been there from the beginning. He searches. He knows the deepest things of God. Let's just talk about His accuracy. He is accurate in everything He hears from the Father. Everything He knows from the Father. Everything He's been told by the Father to communicate to us. He is accurate. He doesn't give us with extra or with minus. He doesn't make His own things up. He lives in total obedience to the one who sent Him. He gives us what He hears. He gives us what He knows. He gives us what is from God. Let us see today, we're all sitting there with our Bibles in our hands. He gave up He gave us the Bibles, the Word of God. Is there any inaccuracy in the Word of God? If you are a believer, you will say no. The Bible is Word of God. It was given by the Holy Spirit to us for our need, and there is no mistakes. And if you see our statement of faith, it talks about the Word of God, the Scriptures. There is no mistakes. The Word of God is infallible. He is the first authority. My authority comes under. Your authority comes under. Anyone's authority comes under the authority of Scripture, because we know that it is perfect. Psalm 119, verse 160, talks that the sum of your word is truth. The sum of the word of God is truth. That is David who says it. Or it says also in other version that the entirety of your word is truth. That makes a bold statement about the work of the Holy Spirit, about what he tells us. The Spirit of God ensures that the truth about Jesus is taught and kept in our hearts. That is His work. God, Jesus Christ, the Lord, gave us many promises. He gave His disciples many promises. And I can guarantee you that all those promises were going to be in vain if He didn't send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God had to come to accomplish all those promises He gave them. That's why before they even went and started doing the work, He told them to go and sit at one place, wait until the Holy Spirit came. It's the power, it's the energy. He is the one any believer has to be relied on. And the Holy Spirit of God confirms in human hearts the truths of God. That when we hear the Word of God, the Spirit of God tells us in our heart what is being said is the truth. When you read the Word of God yourself, you find conviction. This is the Word of God. And you love it because He does the work in your heart. This is important because the Church of God is being built, and the one who does the first work, the foundation work, is the Holy Spirit of God. You and I here, if I would ask you how you came to faith, how you came to know Jesus Christ, how you came about that you are a believer, you might be the only person in your whole family who's a Christian. You might be the only person in and all your friends who's a Christian. You might be the only friend, person at your work who's a Christian. If I would ask you how you came to faith, you will give me different stories, how you it came about. I remember how I came to faith. I don't want to boast about it. I don't want to say, but I want to say just to make a point of what the Holy Spirit does. I used to say that Dawn saved by God, the Spirit saved me in a way that I grew up in church. All I know in my whole life is church. I've been going to church. I've sung in choirs. You might not believe. I've sung in the choirs. I've done things. And I've had positions in churches, youth meetings. I've done all those kinds of things. But I can tell you that I was never saved. I was religious. I was religious. Until one day in my youth, I went to a prayer meeting. The word of God was not preached. There was no preaching. There was nothing. There was no, it was just prayer meeting. In the midst of that prayer meeting, conviction of sin came into me. Christ opened my eyes. I fell on my knees. In the middle of, there were many people. I went in the corner. I was crying, begging for mercy. I cried, save me. Everything, anything I ever had done has always been a failure. I give this life. Take it. Take it. And that, from that day on, my life changed. Not being preached to anyone, or not anything, but Spirit coming Himself and doing the work. I know some of you might also familiarize with this one, that you were on your own, you were reading the Word of God, or you were there was some time where things of God became important to you. You wanted to read the Word of God. You want to do good. You start asking yourself questions. Why am I living? Why am I this? I'm not happy with this life I'm living. Things start changing in your own heart without anyone saying something. Just Spirit of God working in your own heart. We see today in Middle East, people are coming to faith. Places where preachers have never been. People are coming to faith. We see in Nigeria to South Sudan, where Muslims are so aggressive, they want to make everyone Christian, Muslim. They want to kill people. They want to do things. But time after time, people are coming to faith, and the Muslims are worried. Imams are worried. They say that they are losing many of their people. Why the Spirit of God is doing the work in hearts of men. Let us talk about Finland, where it's rare to find the true biblical church. It's rare to find what the Bible says openly. It's rare to hear about sin in the context as it is. People are coming to faith. People are coming to faith. You here, me here. If we would say, we find that Spirit of God has done the work in our hearts from beginning, without intervention of other people, He did the work in our hearts. So, the one who builds the church of God, the one who begins the work is the Spirit of God. He convicts the people. He affirms the truth of God in people's hearts. There's a story of a Muslim lady. No, a lady who's married to a Muslim. She's been reading the Bible in secret so that her husband wouldn't know. Because she can't go to church because her husband might kill her. She's alone. But she has children. She has been teaching the Bible to her children in secret. The husband doesn't know. She doesn't go to church, but hey, children, are born again children. They, when they came to maturity, they all left Islam. They are members of the churches because of what the woman has been doing at home. The Holy Spirit has been doing that work, making it so effective, and children have come to Christ. So don't take it for granted. Don't be discouraged. Don't think that it's all upon you. Christ sent His Holy Spirit to build the church, and I can guarantee you that the church is being built. It's being built. You will be surprised one day, if we live longer, if we will be able to hear the testimony of people, how they came to faith. I believe that's why many of these evangelical churches, these Bible churches, when they meet a person, they want to hear their testimony, how they came to faith, how you came to faith, because they want to see what the Lord is doing. They want to know what the Lord is doing in people's hearts. He testifies about of Christ. He testifies. He ensures that the truth about Christ is taught and kept in our hearts. Take it in consideration time after time. When you think things are dark, when you think that people are not coming to faith, even in this Finland, even though the churches are led by unbelievers, or the church wants the world to appreciate them, want the world to love them, want the world to find themselves comfortable in the church, Christ is doing the work in the hearts of people, and the church is being built. That is the first witness. And then the second witness is in verse 27. Let us read it again. "And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." The Lord is talking to His disciples first. He's telling them that they will be His witness. You know, when He gave them the Great Commission, you know, when He told them to stay, He said to them, begin in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all those kind of things. He told them that to go and be witnesses. That was His first people who were with Him, these second mothers, the church. As it was with apostles who were with Christ from the beginning, the same it is with you. You might say that I'm not that old. You might say that I'm not a Jew, but you are part of the church of God. Everything the apostles did was to build the church, was to begin the church. On day of Pentecost, when Peter preached, people came to faith, and that was the birth of the church. We testify about what we heard, what we saw, and what we experienced. Anyone who's born again doesn't need any training to be able to testify about Christ. Peter and John and James and all those people didn't need any training to proclaim the truth about God. Why? Because they learned it, they did experience it, they heard the word of God, they experienced it, they saw it for themselves. When it was time, they proclaimed what they did see it. You might say, but what will I say? If you are born again, you know that Christ lives in you. The Spirit of God lives in you. You can claim that I cried to God, I cried to the Holy Spirit, I cried to the Lord Jesus Christ. He came and saved me. I know that He's alive because He lives in me. That's the testimony we can tell people. This doesn't become only a story you've heard. It doesn't just become something you assume this becomes a reality because you called upon his name, he came and saved you. And you know that he's alive because he lives in you, if you are a believer. How do you know that he lives in you? Because you are not the same person you were. You don't have the same passions you had. You don't have the same personality you have. And your eyes are focused on things of God. You want to be an obedient child. There is a change. There is a transformation. You are a new creature. That is what says that you have a testimony. Any believer has a testimony. And we can testify about him because we know what he has done. Let me tell you, if you would go to court today, they will ask you if you are a Christian. If it will happen that in this Finland, everyone who is a believer will be put to court. You have a testimony. You have something to tell them. If you are a believer, you will tell them that I was lost. I was wicked. I was made for destruction. But Christ revealed himself to me through the word. I called upon him. I begged for mercy. He came. He saved me. Today I am a new person. Look at me. I am not the same person I was. I am a new person. They will say, crazy person, go out. The second person will come in. If he is or she is a true believer, same thing will happen. I called upon the name of Jesus Christ. He came and rescued me. I know that he's alive because he lives in me. Go out, crazy person. The third person will come in, will give the same testimony because that's what we know, that's what we have lived, that's what we have experienced. You know, if you go to court and try to make things up, they will know that you're making things up. They will ask you questions. They will shake you. They will just say things so that you get irritated. And they will want you to repeat what you've said. And if you are lying, if you have not lived it, you will contradict yourself. But if something you have lived, if Christ lives in you, you will say, I called upon him. He came and he saved me. I know that he's alive because he lives in me. And I have a testimony. I am a new person. We know today is not this Christianity we have today, or Christianity in its own history. It's not only about dogmas. It's not only about philosophies and theology. It is experiential. It is experience. And when I talk about experience, let me clarify this. I'm not talking about charismatics live only of experiences and silly experiences, lies. How they saw angels appearing in the mirror. This is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the experience of new birth. The experience of new birth. I was a sinner. I was dead in my transgressions. Christ came and saved me. I am a changed person. That is an experience you have to tell people. And you can testify that to anyone. A mother will refuse to deny what he has or she has experienced. It's not like somebody will come inside here as we are here. We call ourselves Christians. When somebody comes in here with AK-47, suddenly we all become unbelievers. If somebody comes in here with a knife, suddenly we all become unbelievers. We are not Christians anymore. It's not that. True believers are true believers. It doesn't change. You know, somebody comes in here, somebody jumps in. You know, me, I don't belong to Agape International Church. I'm just a visitor. You know, have mercy on me. You know, these things of church, you know, in fact, I didn't want to come to this church. Somebody just begged me to come. No, have mercy. No, it's not that. Oh, me was in front, said that, you know what, you know, it's just a joke, you know, we're just making it to fill time, you know, it's things, we are not offensive, we it's not that way. We are Christians, we are believers. Troubles come, persecution come, good times come, we are still believers because we have experienced this. And believers, belief is not tied upon believers or upon other persons' performance or promises. We know we have many people who think that they are Christians because of what some people said. Because a priest said some words and priests claim to have a power because a pastor said something and then they live to that thing. Or because they are good enough, that day they are Christian. Or tomorrow when they are not good enough, they are not Christians. Our belief is not tied to us. It's tied to what the Lord did in our lives. That we experienced the new birth. We experience that we have been forgiven. That's what it is all about. We are the witnesses. We are the witnesses of what we have seen. We know there are many cases which you and I have heard or have seen. People we thought were Christians. People we thought they were Christian leaders. Small problem happens. It can be good or positive or bad. Small thing happen. It can be loss of the child. It can be that they divorce. It can be that small thing happen. Sicknesses. The doubt about things of God comes. They don't even believe simple things they believed before. It's gone. But we know of great people of God who have been faithful to God, who have been faithful as the Holy Spirit is. Troubles came, temptation came, they stood fast by the word of God. The question is, do you have a testimony? Have you experienced the new birth? Our testimony, or our witness, firstly, to the world. Jesus told his disciples to go to the world. You know, for some of us, it might be easy to share the gospel with other believers. And it happens. Many people only share with other believers. But our mission field is outside the world. It's the world out there. We need to hear the gospel. We need to turn to Christ. And that witness is about the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Jesus Christ, the resurrected Jesus Christ. It's not about only ourselves. It's not only about, you know, I was sick and then I went to this church and the pastor preached, and then he asked me, "You want to be prayed for?" I said yes. I went in front. He prayed for me, and then he asked me, "You want to receive Jesus?" And then I said yes. And then that was it. I became a Christian. Anyone can make that up. But when you go into deep things, you tell them about this resurrected Jesus Christ. You talk about the virgin birth as we are singing now Christian songs. You tell people about virgin birth, that Christ was born of a virgin. You go, you tell them that the Spirit of God lived in him. He's descended like a dove. He came upon him and he lived a perfect life. He made miracles. And he died on the cross. He was killed, he died. And then when you say he rose again, that makes a difference from all other religions. Because Muslims will tell you about Muhammad, what he did. Hindus will tell you about their gods. I don't know, 1,000 gods they have. Buddhists will tell you about Buddha. But none of them will tell you about the resurrected Savior. When you want to share the gospel, when you want to give that this testimony I've been talking about, never forget to present the resurrected Christ, the living Christ. Because that is where the power is. The power is not only into miracles. Because let me tell you, the time they killed Jesus, the time they didn't believe in him, he did miracles. Those people, the priests and Pharisees and other, they saw miracles day after day. They saw everything. They didn't believe. On day of Pentecost, Peter told them about all this life of Jesus Christ. But when he came, that this Jesus has resurrected from the dead. That changed everything. He rose from the dead. God rose him from the dead. That's the difference. That's the Christ you and I have always to have in our testimony. When we witness, say that he lives in me. I know that he lives because he lives in me. And say, look at my life. My life is changed. It's not the same life as it was. I am a changed person. He is transforming me. He's making me to become more like Christ. Tell the people about the active, about the living Christ. Not of a dead. Miracles, as I said before, Buddhists perform miracles. Hindus perform miracles. And even unbelievers perform miracles. They heal people. They do all these kinds of things. But none of them has risen from the dead. When you go that way, you tell that he's living in my life, you go even one step further. He will return in bodily form. He will return. He will judge the living and the dead. He will take care of his church, of his people. He will judge the ungodly. They will be thrown into the fire. That makes a great difference between all these other religions. You have painted a clear picture of the God you are serving, of the Christian God. You know, Satan is happy if you go there and tell people that, yeah, you know what, Jesus loves you, he wants to give you a good plan for your life, or he has this, he wants to heal you, you want to receive Jesus Christ. Satan is so happy because there's no power in that. You are giving people a Jesus who is not a Jesus, a useless, a worthless Jesus. But as long as you talk about the Christ of the Bible, you tell people about all that he has done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do in the future, that makes it totally different thing. Your testimony becomes different. You know, only people who have gone through this experience of new birth will understand this. Have you been in a situation when you talk about you talk to religious people? It can be a priest, it can be a pastor, it can be whoever. You are passionate. You talk to them about how you came to faith. You talk to them how you are a changed person. You talk to them about how you serve God. You talk to them about this, and they get irritated. They get angry, or they think you're talking nonsense. They don't get it. Why? Because they never experienced it. They never experienced it. I remember, I think I've told you this one before. When I was about to become a member of Lutheran Church, when the lady told me that I need to see the priest, I went home, I did my homework. I checked the Bible, I checked things to know that I was sharp in my head, I knew all these kind of things. He was going to test me if I was a Christian or not. And I went to see the priest. What he asked me was my birth, what was this? Bandub, was it in English? Certificate for, was child baptism certificate. Bandub certificate. That's what he asked me. I looked at him. Ask me question. Check me if I'm a Christian. Say anything. It was nothing. There was nothing. He was dead as a dead person can be. And I looked at him and I told him, I don't know anything about this was bandup thing you are asking about. I never heard of it. It didn't even click in his head to ask me if I'm a Christian, if I know anything. Ask me even if I came to faith, if I know anything about Christianity. There was nothing. And there were two priests. He made me member of the church because I was made member of the church in Sweden by force. When I got my signum number, registration paper. I got a paper same time that my congregation was that church. I was made member of the church. When I told him that, but I was in Sweden, I was member of the church. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, we are sisters' church. That's fine. I became member of the church. I came home so angry. I came home so angry. I told Johanna, this is not the church. This is not the church. How can they ask a Muslim or anyone can become member of that church? They can falsify those papers. He wants a piece of paper. I never heard of it. I never even seen it. And in that meeting, I even asked him, if you would move from Finland to another country, to China, will you take your dub paper with you? It didn't click even in his head or in the head. It didn't even click. I was looking for him to ask me if I was born again. I was looking for him to ask me if I was a Christian. I was looking for him to check my biblical knowledge. Nothing of that. And that happens to many people out there. You know, today there's many things happening out there. People healing and people telling about miracles and stuff because they have no testimony. They can't tell people about what Christ did, that he saved them. They called upon the name of Jesus. They called, they begged for mercy. He came and he saved them. They know that he's living because he lives in them. Their lives have been transformed. Their life is being transformed. They are becoming more and more like Christ. It is the work, the journey they've begun until Christ returns. They can't say that. That's why they give people, your hand is long, your hand is short, or your wallet is getting filled, or those kinds of things. Because they can't present what is worth listening to. You know, if you have experienced the new birth, you have much to tell. Your life is a testimony. Your life is the testimony. And be encouraged. Be encouraged that you have a testimony. You don't need to know all the theology to be able to share. You don't need to know all the things, twists and turns, for you to share the gospel to people. Present Christ, He who rose from the dead. Present Christ, who was born from the virgin. Present Christ, who is going to return. Present Christ, who is going to judge the living and the dead. That is a testimony in itself. Go through the Word of God, see the testimonies these people gave, apostles, Peter in the house of Cornelius. See what Apostle Paul talks about when he talks to people about what Christ did for him. In everything, he presents Christ, Him crucified, Christ who resurrected from the dead. That makes the difference about our God and all other gods out there. That makes the difference that we have a living God. He lives in us. It's not that we have to go to the temple, we have to go to Mecca, we have to go to Hindu or to wash ourselves in dirty water in India to wash ourselves. No. He lives in us. He lives in us. And He's doing the work of transforming us. If you are a believer, don't worry. You have it all in you. He lives in you. Don't go around and being fooled by these people who give all stupid promises which God has never made. Or if there are promises which are made, they twist them. Or don't go and look for deeper experiences. Oh, you have to come closer. You have to come closer for you to get that. They trick you. You want to perform. That's why you move from meeting to meeting. You move from things because they don't point that you have the Spirit of God in you. He's doing the work in you. You are alive. He's alive. He's doing things. You are no different than to the one who is standing in front. He has the Spirit of God. You have the Spirit of God. The Spirit is busy transforming him into image of Christ. The Spirit of God is doing the same in you. We both children of God. You know, sometimes I get angry or upset when I hear some testimonies. You know, one person told me about Zion Church in Vasa. I don't know what we're talking about. I never heard of it. Then I went to the website. I checked. There was a place, testimony or something. I was reading some of the testimonies. I read two. I remember clearly how offended I was. One, it was an old lady. She said that she came to the meeting, and it was a long time. She said the name of the pastor. She was coming to the meetings with her friends. And then the pastor said that wants to become a Christian today. And then everyone went in front. And I looked, no one was sitting. Then I went also in front. He prayed for me. That was it. And then the second guy said that he's been moving from church to churches until he went to Zion. They were welcoming. They were good, and the youth meeting was good. There were music, and there were this. That was it. So he became part of the church, and that was it. Is this a testimony worth putting in a church website? Is it a testimony? Are these people saved? Where is there that they repented of their sins? They called to God, and He came and saved them, and then they became children of God. They start serving God. Where is this here? I can tell you that my son Isaac, even though he's naughty these days in church, lately I've been singing. I've been singing for them. Oh, we've been singing together this song, "Jesus Loves Me." Yes, I know, for the Bible tells me so. And we've been singing that. And now every time he wants me to sing the song or to play it on TV or on the phone, he comes to me, "Daddy, Daddy, Jesus loves me. Yes, I know, for the Bible tells me so." And every time, I can't say anything else and say to him that, "Son, you're right. He loves you," because he makes it as a statement, and it is a promise. Jesus loves him. And why? Because the Bible says so. It is a testimony. It is something he says than many people who give a testimony. You're like, where is God in this? Is it worth listening to? Where is the new birth? When did they become a Christian? Even you here who have been good people from all your life. Even our children who are being grown up or brought up in this kind of church, there will be a time where all these stories, all these things have to become reality. There's a time where things of God will become important. There will be a time where they will be asking themselves questions. What is the need? Why am I living? There will be a time we say that, what is my purpose in this life? There will be a time where they need to give their life to Jesus. There's a time where they need to call upon His name to come and save them. I know not that there's a time where you've been worried, you couldn't sleep. There's a time where you were not comfortable with yourself. There's a time where you wanted to make changes. Even in your good life, you want to make changes in it. And I can guarantee you that this time, at this moment, there are people who are good. They are dead in that their goodness. There's nothing else. They are good. They think that they are good. They don't want to change anything. There's no change. They are good. That's it. And their goodness will take them to hell. Only those who have trusted in God, those who have called upon the name of Jesus Christ, those who have this experience, those who have been, who have Christ in them, will be redeemed. You know, when we are talking to people, sharing, the Spirit of God is confirming what we are saying to people. He does the work. He testifies that what he's saying is true. What he's saying is a matter of life and death. Sometimes he gives us words which you would never thought we could say. You are busy communicating. A word flips out of your mouth. And you are amazed for your rest of your life. How could I say that? How could I say that? There are things, I don't know if you've noticed that sometimes there are things you've said, you don't even know that you've said them. People remember them. You know, I remember what you said. I remember what you did. You have no clue what you've said. Spirit of God gives us words to say, and He reveals Christ when we are talking. You might be talking, thinking that you are talking, you are boring, you are this, but He is busy painting a picture in this person's life. It's like painting a map. And the person is going, and Christ is being revealed in small talk you are doing. He is at work. He is the first witness. He does the work. You have a witness. You are a witness. Testify about it. That's why we have to have churches which present the truth, which preaches the gospel to the people, so that when people are sitting there, are listening, they are, the Spirit of God is confirming what we say. That is the truth. That is the truth. That is the truth. Than going to a church where what is being preached is nonsense. It's just things of all over the place. There is no truth which the Spirit of God can confirm. That is truth. You know, I asked before, do you have a testimony? And if you have a testimony, what is it all about? And this is your personal question. Does Christ live in you? Do you have that assurance that He lives in you? Can you say with boldness that I called upon the name of the Lord, He came and He saved me. I know that He's alive because He lives in me. And I am a changed person. And one day I'm going to meet my Lord and Savior. One day I'm going to spend eternity in glory with my King and my Lord. Last night we were watching a documentary from Ule Arena about this guy, Peter Sneakers, who died. People have been talking about it at work. We had tumor in his head. He died young, was 56 years, and all these things. It was painful, it was horrible. But you saw at the end that the person want anyone to come with a solution. Anyone want to come with a solution. You turned to churches. Two people. You went to a church. The church wanted only to heal him. They put oil on his head and this. I don't know. They didn't show anything. I don't know. But from what I saw, no one went through salvation. No one went through the eternal state. And then there's this other guy who comes in. What he did, he prayed for him and wanted him to fall down. Some people, the person is sick. Person is sick. And he was there pushing him, wanting him to fall down. And he himself fell down. He wanted to show that it was the Spirit. I started crying when I saw that. I thought, Johanna, this is what Christ, our Lord, is reduced to. This is what He is reduced to. Is that what you tell people about the testimony about Christ who saved you? Is that the testimony you can give people? Is it only about the things of this world? Or are you always pointing them to Christ, Him crucified, Christ who resurrected from the dead, Christ who will return one day to judge the living and the dead and to take His church, Christ who is going to spend eternity with His people? Is that what you tell people? If you don't have the new birth experience, please, please, turn to God. Turn to God. As we saw in Psalm today, enter in your secret place, a place where only God and angels can see you. Beg for mercy. Cry to God. Cry to God. You won't be turned down. Be sincere. Like a person, like this guy who was going to the doctor with a tumor. He went to the doctor hoping for help. He did anything he could. I didn't blame him in anything he did. He turned even to God, but people he went to, they didn't present God to him. It was a short term. We're all gonna die. We're all gonna stand before God. We're all gonna go when the pain of death is gonna go. We have to prepare people for afterlife. We have to prepare people for eternity. If you don't have a testimony, beg God for one. Beg God for experience. Turn to God. Hold on to His promises. Hold on to His promises. Tell Him that Christ died for ungodly. You are that ungodly person. You want to be saved. You want to be made part of family of God. And if you have a testimony, let me tell you, rejoice in it. Rejoice in it. Thank God for that. And don't sit on your laurels. Share with others. Testify about Christ to others. You are the light in the world. You are the light among the people you are with. Share the gospel. And again, not only to the believers. Go to the world. The world is in enmity. The world is rebellious. The world hates Christ. Present Christ to them. You are not alone. You have the Spirit of God. He confirms. People might reject it, but He sees the deep things of God. Let us pray. Father, this is wonderful. When we open Your word, we see amazing things. We thank You for the first witness, the Holy Spirit of God, who deals with men, even in secret places, who calls people, who is at work building Your church. But we thank You for Your Holy Spirit. We thank You that He is working. He is calling people towards You, to be with You. Father, we pray for those who have the experience of new birth to find comfort. Father, to be bold to share the gospel and to present a crucified, to present resurrected Christ, to present the King of Kings who will one day return. Father, to be able to share the light to the world. And to those, Father, who don't have experience, those who are dead in religion, those who are dead, Lord God, in the goodness, those who are dead, Lord God, in traditions, those who are dead, Lord God, in philosophies and the theologies and other stuff, Lord, we pray that You have mercy. You have mercy, Father, that You will humble them. Father, You will humble them, that they will see that religion doesn't save. Lord, they will see that theology doesn't save. What saves is You and You alone. You, the one who saves. Father, they will turn to You in humility. They will turn to You to beg for mercy. Father, You will come in reality in their lives. You will come and redeem them. You come and save them. Father, they will know that for sure I am saved. For sure I have Christ. I have the Spirit of God. He lives in me. I am a changed person. I am a new creature. Father, they will use that testimony for glorification of your Son. Father, help us on this day. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.